Okay, it's Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's Perek Lamed Aleph. Perek Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph. We just read the Pasuk last time. We didn't really go through. We didn't really read the Mefarshim. We got into a discussion about this expression of Lo Yosifu Lidava Od. But the Pasuk reads, Uvov Rinu Bimroim Tzion, they will come. Klal Yisrael will come and they will sing Bimroim Tzion in the highest places of Tzion. V'noharu El Tuv Hashem, they will stream to the goodness of Hashem. Al Dagon, V'al Tirosh, V'al Yitzar, V'al Tzion, V'al Kar, all these different commodities, grain, wine, oil, cattle, bakar, sheep and cattle, the hoysa nafsham kigan raveh, their neshamos will be like a garden that's well watered. And here we have the conclusion of the pasuk, v'lo yosifu lida'ava, oh, no longer will they worry, will there be anything to worry about in this world. Let's see the mefarsh pasuk yud in the mitzud ostavid, pasuk yud aleph, bimroim tzion, behar tzion shu rom v'nisa. Why here suddenly are we calling tzion the moroim? So it's Ram Venisa, something that is new. V'noharu. V'noharu means to stream. It's a borrowed term. Yim Shachu. V'lovo el Totuv Hashem. They will stream to the goodness of Hashem. Return to Leimar. L'kabel Toiva Meruba. To receive abundant, good, an abundance of good. V'chozim L'farish Al Dagon. And it goes on to explain what is the good. Kigan rave, yiyu seveyim betuva kigan hayorek hasviya b'chol eis. They will be satisfied with the goodness of Eretz Yisrael, just like a garden of vegetables that is satisfied at every single moment. Ki haderech lashkoes b'regel, because a garden has the advantage that you can water it at your will, unlike a field which depends upon the grace of Hashem, upon rain. But a garden, as long as it's watered from rivers, you can, the irrigation, it's continuously being watered. V'lo yosifu l'oit, lo yosifu l'yos b'itzavoin v'daga k'me'oz. You will no longer be in a state of sadness and pain like in the past. Self-explanatory. Rashi, there is no Rashi on Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Radak. There is. I'm sorry. There is Rino Aru ye'osu k'monar. They will gather. V'nar means. So it's really, I think it appears that Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudos. He says, "V'naharu ye osfu." They will gather together. Mitzudos seem to say they will yimshachu lavai. They will be drawn to come. It's a different expression, either gathering or being pulled to come to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the Radak says, "Uvo b'mram tzion targ minusin b'tur beis mikdashaya." The mountain of the Beis Hamikdash, the ispinei b'tzion. The room, the marom, he's translating over here is the Beis Hamikdash, the mountain which is exalted, which refers to the place of the Beis Hamikdash. V'naru el tuv Hashem inyin merutza el hachofetz, to run to your desire. V'chein v'naru elav kol hagoyim. Period. L'da'ava, da'ava means daigel lehe'otzev u'lidoeg, to be sad, to worry. V'hu mikor pei hapoal bepatach. So the word l'da'ava, he's just pointing out that it's a patach. It's a patach, not a the peles le'ahava, similar to the word ahava, as Hashem Elokecha. The aleph is a patach. Okay, so that concludes this pasuk. As we mentioned last week, this pasuk for some reason has become accustomed that at the Beis Ovel we say it. Some people say it after they say Hamokim Minachem. Some people can conclude with the words V'lo Yosifu L'da'ava Od. I mentioned that I did see in a sefer on Hilchos Avelos that says that it's not proper to say this pasuk to a person who has one living parent, because if you're going to say that you're not going to see any Da'ava Od, it means you're going to predecease your parent, and that is obviously not a bracha. So it's to be said to a person, Rachman Litzlan, who loses a second parent. Pasuk Yud Beis, Oz Tismach Besula B'machol. At this point in time, the Besula will rejoice in a circle. Uvachudim Uzdekeinim Yachtav. The young and the old together. V'yafachti Evlon L'sason V'nichamtim. I will transform their mourning to joy. V'nichamtim. They will be comforted. V'simachtim. And I will bring upon them joy. Migoinam. From their sadness. Their sadness will be replaced with joy. Let's do the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'riveisi nefesh ha'kayanim doshin. I will water, or satiate the neshamos of the kayanim with fat. Obviously, this refers to spirituality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the kayanim, which means the teachers of Klal Yisrael, the people who are associated with the kayanim, their neshamos doshin means they're going to be satisfied spiritually. the Ami and my nation as to thee, with my goodness Yisba'u, they will be satisfied with my goodness. Two different types of satisfactions. There's the satisfaction to the nation and the satisfaction to the Kohanim. Ne'um Hashem, so does Hashem say. Let's see these two psukim inside of the Mitzudos, Pasuk Yud Beis, Uvachorim Uzekenim Yachtov. L'roiv ha-simcha yu ha-zekenim nimshachim achar ha-bachurim la'sos b'maseim l'smoyach b'machol. The old folks will dance in the circles like the young people dance, even though typically the young people are the ones who are doing the heavy dancing. At this point in time, there's going to be such great simcha, even the old people will join in the simcha. V'yafachti ha-evel l'shiyah me'leh me'oz. The mourning that they were accustomed to from the past, epoch l'sason, they will turn into joy. V'vzeyu menuchamim al ho'evel shemeoz, and this will serve as comfort for the mourning that Klal Yisrael suffered back in the past. V'simachtim mi goinam ratzolaymar erech asimcha ye yoysem erech hayogoyin shahoyo lohemeoz. This is an amazing thing, that the degree of simcha will be more than the degree of sadness that they suffered in the past. Someone once pointed out to me that in life, make a cheshbon, how many happy moments do you really have in life? Most of life is filled with da'aga. It's amazing. Like, go through a day, even if you forget about going through the whole life, go through one day. How much time during a day does the average person have simcha, true satisfaction? Most of the day, you deal with problems. You respond to problems. Crisis management. Most people are in a crisis management mode. Unfortunately, that's the reality. So, yeah, why do people have such zest for life? It's for those few moments of simcha. Those few moments of joy make it all worth it. It's an amazing thing. So here, the pasuk says, we have another pasuk, Samchenu kimos ini sanu shenos reinu ra'a. It's a famous pasuk in the Tehillim. Give us joy equal kimos, like the days ini sanu, like the days of our suffering. Here it's the same thing. Here it says, but even more, here it says, according to the Mitzudos, I'm going to give them more joy than the simachtim. The joy will overtake the sorrow. Erech ha-simcha ye-yoyser me-erech ha-yogon shohayor lo-hem-yos. That's something that's really almost impossible to fathom, such a reality where most of the day we are involved with moments of joy.
Is it time compared to
quality,
amount of simcha?
Quality versus
1 minute of simcha is maybe worth a week of.
You're saying good. Maybe people would argue today that the only reason why we really appreciate those few moments of joy is because of all the sorrow we have during the day. You have 10 hours of sorrow. That's what creates an environment, a setting, to bring out a few moments of pure joy. If we didn't have all the daigus, then when those moments of joy would come, we wouldn't really appreciate the joy.
Preparing for a wedding, you just aggravate yourself for weeks and weeks, and it's
fine. Weeks, years.
That's 5 hours of simple, that's all.
Years, years. Okay, I always find by a wedding, I find the dancing. The ikar dancing is the first 3 minutes when the chasen kala comes in. You ever watch a video? I once watched some YouTube videos. They have all these from weddings on the YouTube. So you want to, yes, it's all very boring. You know, the dancing, everyone going around. Not all the time, but the moment of real simcha is when they come in for the first time, and that's like everything. Everything comes down to those few moments. Okay, so this is what it says over here. Now we go into the Rashi pasuk yud gimel says doshen shomein fat. I will satisfy the kohanim with spiritual fat. Their neshamos will be satisfied with fat. I'm sorry, yud gimel very vasi. I will water. Vasi comes from the word in the Mitzudos Sion. He translates the word vasi inyan sviya, satiation. During the time of the Churban, the Kohanim did not have the fire offerings of Hashem. So he's learning the pasuk very similar. And not like I told you that it's a spiritual type of satisfaction. I mean, the kachem is also spiritual, but it means come on, have what to eat. The ones who suffered the most. This is a theme which comes out in the kinois more, very, very many times. The ones who suffered the most the time of the Churban, the Kohanim. The Kohanim, everything in their life centered around the Beis HaMikdash. The Korbanos, the Avoda. So when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they really suffered the most. The average person did not, it was terrible, it wasn't a place to go. The Shechina was not resting, but most of the time people were occupied in Parnassa. So the loss of the Beis HaMikdash was enormous, but did not come anywhere near the loss that the Kohanim felt, because they had nothing else but the Beis HaMikdash in their lives. They only served, even right, 2 weeks a year, even one day. Only one day, but everything was geared towards those 2 weeks. They were in training. They were in training. We really have no understanding of what kind of training. I mean, how much.
Did they work the other days? When they weren't on duty, did they have jobs?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's not at all clear. I would imagine that every generation, every period, it was different. We don't have really records of. I mean, we have certain records of the Josephus.
If there were cities of Kohanim,
Chazal said there were 24 cities. Each Mishmar lived in their own city, and they prepared. They prepared the entire year for that 1 week, that those 2 weeks. For those 2 weeks, what did they do? I don't know.
Who supported them?
The Kal Yisrael supported them. Truma, and Truma Smeiser, Manas Kohuna, they were supported. That's how the Torah set up the system, that they should be supported by Klal Yisrael, so they should be free to engage in spiritual pursuits. All 24 cities. Well, they
would come to the Beis HaMikdash.
And the Karbanos were
only Yerushalayim. That had to be known in Yerushalayim. The Truma. So we don't really know. The Gemara talks about situations where people know nepotism. You have a relative, so you only give it to your own relatives. So was the Truma fairly distributed to all of the Kohanim? It would seem not, because you could give it to whoever you want. There were certain people that were very popular. Or you only
had a route, you know, Truma route.
Like the collectors.
So Chazal said that's not a good thing. The Chazal would not approve of the Kohanim that were collectors in the Beis HaGronos. I really don't know. It seems it's a big mystery, and it's fair to say that during the 850 years that there was the Beis HaMikdash, it was different. Every single year, every single tekufa, every era, there were different standards, there were different things, enactments, different things changed all the time. That's why you have to say, look, you even say that about the basics, about the menorah. Was the menorah round, like we've been brought up as children, or was it a V, like the Lubavitch menorah? So the truth is, all the parties can say they're both kosher. There's no one that's going to say that one menorah is more kosher than the other. It's just a matter of interpretation. So it's very reasonable to say is that during the Beis HaMikdash, there were different tekufas. There was a tekufa when they had a round menorah, and there was a tekufa when they had a V menorah. The Lechem Aponim, the Gemara has a discussion. Was it round or was it a box? So it's not a contradiction to say that there were different periods of time when it was different. Okay, let's see the Radak. We have to finish the one more word of the Metzudos. Es tuvi es atchoyv habolochem mi'iti, the goodness that comes to them from me. Okay, Rashi. Rashi first says, Doshen is shonen. No more Rashi. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasik yud beis. Oz tismach besula. At that time, the besulois will rejoice. Return. Lema kol besula besula v'yonis antigin b'chein yichdon kinishto di yishol kad b'chingon, the Jewish people. He's calling besula as a metaphor for the Jewish people. We have that many, many times, that Klal Yisrael is called the Besula. Why is she called the Besula? The lesson that we had it before last week, it's Chavivos. A Besula is Chaviva al Bala, like a Chosim and Kala. Kad b'chilgin, they'll dance in a circle. Now the concept of a circle is an idea of equality. In Halacha, first of all, in the world in nature, there is no, it's the best that I've been told, there is no such thing in nature as a perfect circle. It does not exist. Take a fruit, take the orbit of any planet, of any constellation or anything, there is no such thing, even the Earth. The Earth is not a perfect circle. There is no such thing in this world as a perfect circle. Haloi davar, isn't that an amazing thing? In mitzvos, there are no circles. In mitzvot, every single thing in mitzvot are squares. The tefillin have to be perfectly square. The mizbeach has to be perfectly square. What other examples? There are a lot of examples. Mitzvot are always done in squares.
The esrog.
What do you mean the esrog?
The esrog.
Yeah. It's a fruit. It's a fruit. Well, that's so. The Torah told us to take, but we shake it. How do we shake it? We shake it in a circle, or we shake it all four sides: north, west, south, east, up, down. So hakafis. That's shmini. It's hakafis. That's why it's a very mystical thing. Hakafis. Hakafis. You're touching. You're drawing from Yemos Hamashiach. When we recite the pasuk in a kiddush levana. Kishem shani rokeid kinegdech kach lo yuchlu kolavai lingabi l'ra. The same way I dance opposite you. The way to dance, the proper way to dance in this world is like su sharim. You go kinegdech. You go back and forth, right? So that's done by design. That's not just done. That's because that is the way you dance in this world in the present time. You dance back and forth kinegdech. This concept of dancing in a circle is what it says here in this pasuk, the time of Mashiach, Oz tismach besula v'bimachol, in a circle. This is a mystical concept. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasos mechol latzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a circle for the tzadikim. Hashem is going to stand in the center, and everyone's going to point at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem is the one who we have yearned for, the one who has brought salvation for us. So the concept of, so what's the difference between a circle, an imperfect circle, and a square? So a square represents, this is what Chazal say, it represents diversity. When you have a square and you line up along the perimeter of the square, every single object along the, every single point along the perimeter of a square is at a different distance from the center. And that means that no two people are the same. In our avoda of Hashem, there is differences. There is a Kohen, and there is a Levi, and a Yisrael. There is a man, and there is a woman. Everyone has a different role. Everyone is different. In the same way, in the big general picture, man, woman, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, go through all the seder of Yichus, a Ger, a Nesin, a Mamzer, go through the seder, the Asar Yuchsin, the 10 different categories of Yuchsin. There are things that one person cannot do. There are things, everyone has their limitations. And within each category itself, every single one is different. So that's what a square represents. Everyone has to contribute to serve Hashem in their unique way. And just like no two people look alike, no two people think alike, no two people serve Hashem the same way, everyone has a unique perspective, a unique contribution in servicing Hashem.
The roles are not equal. The
roles are not equal. It's more than the roles not being equal. Besides the general, man, woman, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, and the Asar Yuchsin, even within each category, no two people are the same. So Achdus is a circle. Achdus, well, on the other.
This means you all have to come together. Right. You all have different roles.
You're all lining up along the perimeter.
You have a different role to play with a common purpose.
Right. A circle is something that is mystical, which refers to Asilavo. When Mashiach comes, then there's a circle. A circle, everyone is the same.
Some people say that everyone has a different perspective.
On the circle.
Standing in a circle, looking in the center, I got a different perspective than you do.
Sitting on the other side, in the east-west, right? You have a different perspective, but at least your distance, as far as the distance is concerned, so the circle represents a concept of equality. It's like, it's not perfect equality because you have a different perspective from different sides. But
the achdus is the center of the circle.
Right, that's the achdus. Well, there's achdus when there's a square as well. When you have a square or a rectangle, the achdus is the center. Everyone is focused on the center. Your distance to the center is different.
Is
there
one circle?
What? Like it says, there's going to be one big circle.
You
got to
be
one big circle.
Right.
Yeah.
He says, I reached the age where I dance in the outer circle.
The outer circle.
He's at that age. He doesn't want to be with the...
with the inner circle where they're wild. Well, here it says in the pasuk, it says here in the pasuk that oz tismach besula v'mochal ubachurim uzikenim yachtof. So Rolovsky is saying that maybe now, but the day will come when the zikenim will go into the inner circle. They'll be just as wild as the people on the inner circle. Okay, but then there's something that in this world, even though that this is a concept which la'asalavo in teva, it's an amazing idea that Hashem did not create in teva a perfect circle, and that means that even the teva is not yet perfected. Even teva is not. I told you this many times from Rabbi Dr. Leon Ehrenpreis, who's a big mathematician. He told me that he told this to Rav Moshe, and he said that the earth does not, all the calculations in the Gemara that talk about Zmanim are off. They're not perfect. That's the Gemara discusses, Shmuel, Rabbi Avohu. These are the sugyas that everyone talks about once in 28 years in Kiddush, Birchas HaChana. The calculations are off, and the Gemara, and they're off. And he says the reason why they're off is because the calculations that the Chazal are working with are based upon the assumption that the earth goes around the sun in a perfect circle. All the Yetzli told Rav Moshe, all the calculations in the Gemara are work perfectly if the earth would travel around the sun in a perfect circle. But the reality is that it's not so. And that's because of the gravitational pull of all the planets, and that's always changing. Every circuit around the sun, it's always going to be different because there's going to be, the planets are not going to be aligned, there's going to be different gravitational pull. And he told Rav Moshe, it's a Farish in the Gemara, that this change from a perfect circle to an ellipse took place at the time of the Mabul. At the time of the Mabul, Kadosh Baruch Hu, it says in the Gemara in Sukkah, Hashem took out a constellation, a star, he took it out, that changed the gravitational pull, and that totally changed the orbit. No longer was it a perfect circle, it now became an ellipse. And that's why the lifespan of men was reduced from 1,000 years to 120 years. That's why the seasons, that's why there is global warming. What?
The earth wasn't tilted before.
That's another interesting question. Was the earth tilted? He didn't talk about that. Was the earth tilted? The axis? I don't know about that. But he claims this idea is that the Berea in Maaseh Bereishis, there were perfect circles. This was his thesis. In Maaseh Bereishis, there was such a thing as perfect circles. And just like the orbit wasn't a perfect circle, who knows that in Teva could be that you had fruits, vegetables or other things in Teva also produce perfect circles. But due to the chait of the Dar of Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a Churban to the world, and that was manifested in the fact that nothing, no longer do we have perfect circles. And the orbit is different, and that causes a change in the environment, change maybe global warming, I don't know what you want to say, whatever you want to talk about. But that changed the quality of life. The quality of life drastically was reduced because the earth is not functioning the way it should. We get the impression that the earth would like to be perfect, would like to work in perfect circles, because it is 99% perfectly circled. So why couldn't the earth go the one more percent? Why is there a reality? Google this, that there is no such thing as a perfect circle in the Bria. But when you look at the Bria, you look at every fruit is pretty much round. Everything in the Bria, every tree is pretty much round. So why couldn't it just go one more mashu and become perfect? Obviously, something went wrong. Something went wrong, and that change happened at the time of the Mabul. Rav Moshe told me that Rav Moshe was very, very interested, took very seriously what he said. And he said he could be very right. Like we say, there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. This mathematical analysis of this mitzvah, and that you get a greater appreciation with this idea that la'asilavo, it will return to its pure state, pristine state, and that's exactly what it alludes to. Oz tismach besula b'machol. If you want to interpret this homiletically, is that Klal Yisrael will rejoice in the fact that the world has been returned to a state of perfect circles, which captures an idea of a perfect world, a world that is healthy, a world that lacks no distortion, everything is operating in its pristine and ideal state.
you say that there were no hurricanes and tornadoes and all
that? That's what Dr. Ehrenpreis he wanted to say. Is that all of these things, all these things in nature that are deviations from what should be normal and healthy, comes from the fact that there's a flaw. Where is that flaw? So he's saying the flaw is that the Earth is no longer circling, circuiting the sun in a perfect circle. And that why? The gravitational pull, because Kadosh Baruch Hu changed the constellations to bring a magnetic pull which caused this permanent change that it should be in the ellipse, and that affects everything. And that was a punishment due to man's sin, and that will be repaired when Mashiach will come.
Was it equal land and sea?
The Gemara says that my liberation is it's 2/3 water, 1/3. That does seem doesn't just my 2/3 water and 1/3 land. So that's what's the ratio? What do the scientists say today?
About it, yeah.
That's about it.
2/3 to 3/4, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's changing with the glaciers and stuff.
Okay, so that they knew about this. Interesting. They didn't know the whole thing. Okay, so this is a deeper idea into the concept.
Change in nature.
Yeah.
The bracha we say, "Oseh Ma'aseh Bereishis."
Right.
It should be something regarding to the marble.
It's a recognition that I don't think it's a kasha. It's a recognition when there's something that is a shinui. It's a recognition that Hashem created the world. It's Hashem's world. We have an at that moment in time we have an appreciation that it's not our world. Hashem's in charge. Okay, let's finish up the Radak. So the Radak, and this is the deeper idea into the idea of a circle. Mi yogoinam hayud hi nocha. Okay, the yud is not pronounced. The yud is a funny yud in yogoin. Mi goinam. Mi goinam, notice there's no nikud under the yud. The yud is it's part of the chirik. Mi, right, yogon. The yud is part of the shoresh. And here it gets swallowed up because of the mem that precedes it, the chirik. Mi goinam. Okay, pasuk yud gimel, viri vesi, I will satisfy. Hatam milara, viri vesi. Okay, the tam is on the saf, the trub is on the saf, milara betov. On the top, zecher ha-kohanim. Now, why do we mention the kohanim? Why in this pasuk are we talking about the kohanim? Since when the kohanim did become so important? Loimar shetashuv avodas beis hamikdash b'mekayma v'yispu deshen hakarbonos sheyibu mikol ha-mekaymais. That at that point in time, when the Mashiach will come, the beis hamikdash will be rebuilt, and once again they will have their karbonos. Kemo she'amar eli nevayos yishor sunecha. This was the haftar we had in not that long ago. The Shivda Nechemta, the Eli, the Karbonos of Nevoyos, from the name of a place, Yishar Sunecha, Yalu, Al-Ratza, and Mizbuchi, these very exotic Karbonos, very high quality animals from different parts of the world, will be brought upon. Eli means the mighty ones of the Nevoyos of this country called Nevoyos. They will serve you and they will bring upon the Mizbeach Karbonos. Okay, so this is a reference to what's going to be when Mashiach comes. Now we go back to shifting back to the coming of Mashiach. What is going to be the zuchus that will bring Mashiach. This is a very, very famous psukim and bringing out very important ideas. Koi Omar Hashem Kol Birama Nishma. The voice, there's a voice that is heard in the Ramah. What's the Ramah? The Ramah is Shamayim. A voice is heard in the highest place of heaven. Our tefillos, we are Mavakesh, that our tefillos should ascend all the way to the highest places of heaven. Unfortunately, if our tefillos are insincere, they get shut. They get closed off. There are gates that stop the sound waves from going, or there are other reasons. It's just the broadcast is just, the signal is just not that powerful enough that it can reach the place where it needs to go. But there is one tefillah that is so potent, so powerful, its signal, 4G. Even in Shemaim, there's 4G, it goes all the way, 5G, that's a new thing now, 5G. It reaches, even in Shemaim, they look at their cell phones and they see if there's a signal, if the signal's coming in, and that is the call of Rochel Imenu. Koyim Hashem, kol asan b'rama nishma. There is a sound that is heard in the highest locations in heaven. Nehi, this sound is a sound of wailing. Bechi, it is a sound of crying. Tamurim, bitter crying. Two different, Nehi and Bechi Tamurim. Who is the sound? It is Rachel mevako al boneha. Rachel Imenu is crying for her children. She refuses. She is resilient. This is a very powerful midah. She does not give up. She refuses to be consoled al boneha. Ki einenu, because her children are gone, they're no longer found in Eretz Yisrael. Now we all know that this is the reason why Yaakov Avinu, he buried Rachel on the side of the road, in Beis Lechem, and on the Derech Ephras, on the road that leads to Beis Lechem, so because Yaakov Avinu swelled Pirucha Kodesh to determine the time of Chorban Yisrael Rishon, the Nebuchadnezzar is going to exile them along that road, and they would pass the cave of Rachel Imenu, and she would cry, and due to her tefillos, she, Hashem, would say, Yesocha lefulasech, and we're going to see Rashi, the different Midrashim, some of the Midrashim appear to conflict, but we're going to see the Rashi is going to, and the Mitzudas going to the Radak, we'll quote most of these Midrashim. Let's see first the Mitzudas, Pashab Shad, Pashab Yidalid, Kol Brahma Nishma, Hinei Bishmei Maroim, Nishma Kol Vuhu Yaleles Bechimar. There is a bitter cry that ascends to the highest place of heaven. Rachel mevaka kol ha'hu shel Rachel imenu asher mevaka boneha, who cries for her children, me'ano mam'enes lekabel tanchumim, she refuses to accept tanchumim, ki ein mi nisha bi'artzam, there is no one left in the land, ki kulam gol, they have all gone into exile. It's very interesting, before we go further, very interesting to talk about the Eretz Yisrael. The people always ask this question to Gedolim, what are the two holiest places in Eretz Yisrael? What would you say are the two holiest places? So the answer is the Kosel HaMaravi, the Beis HaMikdash, something to talk about. And number two is Rachel Imenu, the Kever of Rachel Imenu. Not, you'd be surprised, not Maris Machpelah. Maris Machpelah, don't get me wrong now. It's Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they're in a different league. These two are in a different league. Rachel Imenu, Vayatzev Yaakov Matzev Al Kurasav, he made it a Makom Tfila. It's beferish in the Pasuk that Rachel, Yaakov Yisrael, and Chazal tell us, and the Beis HaMikdash, Yaakov Avinu said, Beis Tefila L'chol Ha'amim. Interesting, both of these two places were established by Yaakov Avinu, Kever Rachel, and the Kotel HaMaravi. The Ma'aretz Machpelah was not established by Yaakov, it was established by Avram. Avram purchased the Sade, and they were all buried there. But these two Mekoimus were established. Yaakov Avinu said, "If Imshavti v'Shalom l'Beis Avi, then the Even Hazois Asher Samti Matseva Yihyeh Beis Elokim." Yaakov Avinu established, even though the Akedah took place there, and Yaakov and Adam offered korbanos. Those are all nice things, but it was not established that this would be the makom of the Beis Hamikdash until Yaakov Avinu came along and said, "Vo'even hazoyz shasamti matseva." And notice he used the same word matseva. Matseva yihye Beis Elokim. And to match that, the twin is the other matseva. Vayokem Yaakov. What's the pasuk? Vayatsev Yaakov matseva al kavura sohi matseves oven ad hayom. He established. He established it. So it's interesting when you go to these two mekaymos. It is two mekaymos established by Yaakov Avinu. People always ask Gedolei Yisrael, which place do you feel more kedusha? This is a very interesting bit of trivia. And very often, more often than not, they're going to tell you Rachel Imenu. A lot of people who have spiritual sensitivities will tell you when you go to the Kaisel, it's Kodesh HaKadosh. Unfortunately, the Kaisel has turned today into a tourist attraction, to say the least. but the Kever Rachel, somehow, many get... What?
You're going to your mother.
I don't know if it's only that. It's something supernatural that cannot be defined in words. And people, many people will come back and will tell you, but Mechilas Kvoid Beis HaMikdash, I felt a certain boost of Kedusha when I went to Kever Rachel. It's very common to hear that from people. So I read recently, I don't remember, I think it was Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, maybe it was Rav Gifter, I don't remember. One of the Gedolei, he was very upset with this. He was very disturbed with he acknowledged that people very commonly will come back and report Kever Rachel. And it always takes a certain type of quality person, a certain sensitivity to Kedusha. And he's very upset. He says that's not nice to say. It's not a Torah hashkafa. The Beis Hamikdash is the Mokoyim Hashras Hashchina. Chazal say lo yizaza Shchina mikoysel hamaravi. Person shouldn't say that. Just because you may personally have a sensitivity, you go to Kevin Rachel and you have a sensitivity, it's not the right thing for a Torah Jew to come back and start comparing one place of Kedusha to another place of Kedusha, when the truth is, according to Chazal, the Beis HaMikdash really is a place of more Kedusha. The Beis HaMikdash is a base tefillah l'chol ha'amim. It's the place where the Shechina is resting. Kruas Rachel, there's no question about it. Kevah Rachel, it's a different purpose. It's a zeich. What the pasuk over here says, there is a kol barama nishma nihi b'chi in tamrunim, but it's not for us to start comparing one thing to another. I just thought that was a very interesting.
Because of that,
there's going to be a gula. The other one's going to be the twin, yeah. The two matzevas, ein ochanami. But it's not for us to start comparing and giving our own opinion, our own dea. We live in a world where everyone can say whatever they want, to say the least. So we know it's not a Tardika thing to start giving your dea which one has more kedusha. They both have an infinite amount of kedusha. And they're both very holy. Each one is holy in its own right.
They have a tour that you can take, that where you get away from the crowds and the tourists as you walk along the Kotel and you pass the spot, which is the closest spot
to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yeah. And that's also very controversial, because there are three major opinions. Where is the Mokam of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The tunnel.
It's a very different feeling than when you're. Oh,
yeah, okay. You have a very good sensitivity. Unfortunately, I don't have that sensitivity when I went on the tour. I tell you a fact, I felt that the tour, I went 10 years ago, I went to Eretz Yisrael, so I went on the tour. Alright, it was interesting, and I went again this time, I went on the tour again, and I really felt that it was a mistake going on the tour. I really felt that it ruined it. You come to the Kaisal, you have a certain, in your mind, a certain Kedusha, and the tour just dragged down, it reduced it. You're right. It's true. You're right. It's true. You have to know. You have to take the tour. You're right. I don't have much of a choice. I mean, you're right. It's a good point, but you know, sometimes less is more. You come to the Kaisel. I told you, Rav Pam. Rav Pam was so horrified when he came to the Kaisel. When he saw what was going on, he never came back to the Kaisel. Yeah. It's unbelievable. He comes to the Kaisel and he sees people talking and schmoozing and people running around. When I came there, there's a new Mishigas. I know people. They have these banners. You ever see this? It's a new thing now. Everyone has scarves. If whatever you identify with, you order custom scarves, like these shawls, and you go with the group, and then you basically hold up your scarf, your shawl. So when I went, it was during the Olympics. So they had all of these groups from the Olympics coming to the coastal. I don't know where they're going to the coastal. How they come to the coastal from Mexico? What? I don't know, and all these different. Everyone has these little scarves. All these groups. Everyone who comes in as a tourist with a group, they come with they run around and they hold up. They take pictures. Yeah, that's how they put on caps. They do all these other. Yeah, you're right, Kobe. Whatever it is, but Rav Pam, this didn't exist in the time of Rav Pam, when he went to the Kaisel the very first time, but when he went, he was so horrified as what he saw. People were talking. He couldn't even imagine people were talking Dvarim B'Teilim at the Kaisel. They write in the book and he never came back. It was too painful for him to come back and witness the zilzal in the Kedusha of the Kaisel Plaza. The Kaisel Plaza, L'chol HaDeos, has the status of a Beis HaKnesses. Today, it's hard to find any more a real Beis HaKnesses. Every Beis HaKnesses today is built al tanai, that it should be a shtibel, a shul, a room, where you can do whatever you want. You can eat, you can drink, you can say Lashon Hara, whatever you want, you can do. Everything is a shtibel. So we don't have any more what it says in Shulchan Aruch, something called the Beis HaKnesses, and something called the Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaKnesses has its set of rules, and the Beis HaMedrash has its set of rules. We don't really have that bezman hazeh. But l'chol hadeos, the coastal plaza, within the area of the brick wall, according to all opinions, is a Beis HaKnesses. And you have to follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, a Beis HaKnesses. You're not allowed to do Dvarim B'Teilim, you have to have a certain fear, you're not allowed to talk, you're not allowed to eat. and that doesn't exist there. You go there and you look at what's going on there in the Coast Plaza, and no one is following what it says in the Shulchan Aruch about the Beis HaKnesses. So it's something very interesting to keep in mind. All right, let's go further. So here we did.
I feel like it takes you to a level of entertainment.
It does. And it's wild. Things that are going on there are just outrageous. Wild and outrageous. People, they come from all over the world. How many, they say, how many people come there a year? 6 million people, I read, come there a year. It's an incredible, the number of people that come to the Kosel. But for us, at least, so we can't do anything about them, but at least for us, we have to have some degree of appreciation. You know, this year is the big year. This is the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War, of getting back the Kosel. This Shavuos, this coming Shavuos will be the 50th anniversary. We are now in the 50th year. This past Shavuos was 49 years since we had the Kosel. Usfartem lochem im machnas haShabbos sheva Shabbos is tmimos sheva shanim sheva palim, and it's the Yovel Shana. So we would know, people know this. I tell you, I like to say over there, people have a segula. You always say the school of if you go to the Kosel for 40 days in a row. You hear the segula? If you daven at the Kosel for 40 days in a row, you're guaranteed Hashem will answer your bakasha. There's such a thing. So al achas kama v'kama, a billion times over, 50 years? Going to the Kosel 50 years? Not for a yachid, for Klal Yisrael. There has not been a time in recent modern history for 2,000 years where Klal Yisrael had free access 24/7 with no hefsek whatsoever for 50 years straight. It's mind-boggling. So we would expect, certainly, Mashiach should come. So I'm sure as we get closer to Shavuos this coming year, we're going to be hearing a lot about, it'll be a good topic of discussion, the Kedusha of the Kosel HaMaravi. 50 years. Let's see.
Could it be that the Kosel, the Shechina's there, but we used to bring Korbanos for the Goyim also, especially on
Sukkot? Basi, Tefila, L'chol HaAmim.
The Kever Rachel is unique to the...
So you're saying, Gordy, you're saying that the Chilik between Kever Rachel and, you're saying a very good idea. Yaakov established two Mekoymos. The base Hamigdash is a base tefillah lechol ha'amim. It's universal, whereas Kever Rachel is the makom, the holiest makom miyuchid for Klal Yisrael alone. That's a very nice idea. That's a very nice idea. They've done it. Everyone will go to Kever Rachel recently. It's beautiful. It's really
disappointing.
What?
Not what it was. Very disappointing.
Why is disappointing? Because the wall.
The whole
security.
That you know that
the old image that you used to see, it's concealed by the big walls.
Yes.
The cement. Okay, it's true, but inside, you go inside, it's beautiful. That's air conditioned, and it's clean, and it's organized, and it's very, very impressive. It's very modern. You think you're going into a museum. You're going here to a kever. I remember when I was a child and I went to kever. I remember it was I remember there was nothing. There was no security then. There was nothing then. It was like, you know, like you go to the other types of kvarim in Meron.
You can say the same thing about the Kotel. Going inside now, it's magnificent.
It's not. I don't magnificent. What? It's not. I don't say magnificent. There's a different league. Kever Rachel is in a different league than.
Frankel,
Sparum, you go, I know what you mean. You go in the cave and you go in the rooms over there, I know. Okay. Let's see what it says here in the we did the Mitsudos. Let's see Rashi. Okay, there's a long Rashi. Rashi elaborates upon Rachel. Rashi Pasa Gidal Kol Brahma Nishma, call of Rachel is heard Birama, Kol Brahma Nishma, Kola Birum Alma Ishtama. Kal Beis Yisrael. Now here, he says over here, not like what it said, the Targum is not like what it said in the Mitzudos. The call that is heard in the highest place is not, look what Rashi says, according to the Targum, is not the cry of Rachel Imenu, whose cry ascends. Targum says it's the call of Klal Yisrael. Why are they crying? They're crying over Yirmiyah, who they despised, who they wanted to assassinate multiple times. They threw him into a dungeon, who was the most hated man in Klal Yisrael, all of a sudden became the biggest celebrity. Became V'nahapichu, Smamish Purim, Rosh Hashanah, you know, Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to send Mishalach Manos. There's the idea of sending Mishalach Manos on it's a pasuk, somewhere. Mishalach Manos, he sent. We don't do this. We don't send Mishalach. Nechemya, you're right. Nechemya, you send Mishalach Manos on Rosh Hashanah. No one does it. But here's a mamash nahapichu, and this the pasuk we read on Rosh Hashanah. We read this pasuk is there's a kol brama nishma the knihi bechitam women klal yishal are crying bitterly. What are they crying about? That Yirmiyah is leaving them at the time of the Churban. Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, he exiled whoever survived, and then he led a certain group remain in Eretz Yisrael, and he appointed Gedaliah ben Achikam to be the governor of the survivors. And Yirmiyah said, I have to go, I can't be with you, I have to go. Let's see what this is in Rashi. Kolobrum alma ishtama kalbeis Yisrael divochein, they are crying al Yirmiyah Neviyah. They're crying over Yirmiyah. Kadwen shalach yosei Nevuzaradan mei Romsa. So Biroma does not mean, according to the Targum, the highest chamber in heaven. It means a city here in Eretz Yisrael called Roma. Loshuv me achar ha-goylim el Gedaliah ben Achikam. So Nebuzaradan, he exiled the majority of Klal Yisrael to Bavel. He murdered what, over a million people, it says. He murdered a million people, 800, whatever it was, the people, over the blood of Zechariah. And then he exiled, I don't know the numbers, and then he allowed a very small group to remain in Eretz Yisrael under the governorship of Gedaliah ben Achikam. And Yirmiyah was given free reign. Yirmiyah was allowed, Nebuchadnezzar instructed Nebuzaradan, Yirmiyah, don't touch. Don't mess with him. Let him do whatever he wants. Let him go where he wants. Let him say what he wants. Don't restrain Yirmiyah.
So the Malbim says that Baroma is the name of the town.
Right, that's what the Targum is saying. The Targum is coming to disagree. I mean, who came first? But the Targum is coming to disagree with the Mitsudos that Roma does not mean, like, I think we like to translate it, we're brainwashed, the highest in Rosh Hashanah, in a very, very, very spiritual mood, the lofty heavens, called Barama Nishma, and Shamayim, and Roma Tzur. But Alderch Pshat, that's not what it means. A city! It was a
city.
Haramasa. So very good. So it fits good with the Haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Shmuel, the Rama. So this was a city, and Nebuzaradan was gathering the people to exile them to Bavel, and Yirmiyah was with them and was being mechazek them. And then Yirmiyah says, sorry guys, I gotta go back to Gedaliah. I gotta see what's doing by Gedaliah. I gotta mechazek them also. And they said, Yirmiyah, don't leave us. And they cried bitter, bitter tears. They're crying bitter tears over Yirmiyah now. Just when a few weeks ago they wanted to assassinate him, and they said the most despicable things about him. So it goes to show, it's an amazing, amazing thing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned everything around. So the Nebuzaradan me ramsa lashuv, to return me achar hagolim el, after the goyim that were going to Bavel, el to Gedaliah ben Achikam kemosha amar b'sefer zeh, like we're going to learn later. There's a narrative at the very end of the sefer, not so far from now, Lamites, we have a narrative which parallels very much what it says in Sefer Melachim, exactly what happened at this point in time. So this is the bitter cries that I'm hearing. Now, Rachel, that's period. You gotta put a period over there. And then according to the Targum, there's a new concept. And that is, there's another cry. And the cry is, Rachel mevaka al boneha. Me'ana li nachem al boneha. Rashi, Rachel mevaka al boneha. Now here, Rashi quotes a medrash. Now this medrash, you should know, is not the popular medrash. This is a medrash which is a little bit different than we're used to. Medrash agada.
It says here, Echa Rabba.
Right, but we're used to Rachel Vakabonecha. Well, let's see what it says, and you'll see what I mean. Medesh Agada Omar Shaholchu Ovos Vihimos Lepayes Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Shehemid Menashe Demus Behechel Velo Nespayes. We're going back now to way before the Golos. We're going back to how many years? Menashe lived 20. No, he lived, let's see, 39 plus, I can't do math. There was 39, there were 39 years, or 31 years, 31 years of Yeshayahu. And then there were 22 years of 22 years of the last two kings of Tzidkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. So the last 22 years were pretty much two kings. And then there were 31 years of Yoshiyahu. Before that was Amon for 2 years, and before that was Menashe for 55 years. So we're going back now to the time of Menashe, and not the end of Menashe, the beginning of Menashe, because Menashe half of his life did tshuva. He never was able to fully do tshuva, but the rishis of Menashe took place in the beginning of his life. So we're going back over here almost 100 years. We're going back almost 100 years to the time of when Menashe put up a tselem in the Heichal, and then the Avos came to be Mephias, Hashem, don't worry, it's only temporary, they'll do tshuva, and v'lo nispayes, and the Avos, and no one was able to appease Hashem. How can they do such a terrible sin to put up a tselem in the Heichal? Nichnesa Rachel, enters Rachel, Amr lefan of Ribbono shel Olam rachamim mi merubim. Tell me, who has more rachmanis? You or a human being? Rachamecha or rachamei basar? Now I have over here, I have in my gear, so this must be really, really wrong. Basar vidogim. That's what it says here. Okay? This is one for the record books, right? You don't have that, right?
We have an abbreviation. May as well.
Bossa, I have it dug in. If Meir Zlatowitz is not going to be happy when he sees this. Okay.
Got mixed up with Rosh Hashanah, you have to
No, he was singing Zmiris while he was saying
this. Okay, this is not going to go off well. Okay, Rachamei Basar Vidagim. Who Basar Vidagim? Who has more Rachmanis? A human being or Basar Vidagim? Hali Oimer Rachamecha Merubim. Of course, it goes without saying that your Rachmanis of a human of Hashkadosh Baruch Hu is more. The Haloi, I also brought a Tzelem into the Heichal. Rachel says, I brought in my co-wife. I brought in Leah. I gave her the Simonim. I brought in my tsar into my home. Yaakov worked 7 years of slave labor for Lavan in order to have the right to marry his daughter Rachel. On that fateful night when it was my time to come into the chuppah, so they exchanged me for my sister. So not only was I silent, I didn't make a machot to embarrass my sister. I gave her the simonim. So therefore, I allowed it to happen. Af atayu Hashem imichnisu bonecha tsarasecha bebeisecha. Just because they brought in a tsara, a co-wife, into the Beis HaMikdash, they serve you, and they serve an idol at the same time in the same house. So too, shesoik lahem, shesoik bisan. It's a very interesting word, shesoik. That's the avoid of Yom Kippurim. Shesoik kach olo b'machshava. The Asar HaRogei Malchus. Hashem says shesoik. So you hear Rachel is using that same word. Hashem, you be quiet. Right, you're telling us to be quiet. You be quiet, Hashem. Shesoik lohem. Omar lo, yofe lomadata sanegoria. You have spoken well, you have put up a good defense. You are the best defense attorney in the world. Yeish socha lefulasech ulitzidkosech. The words are very poetic, very beautiful. There's war reward for your deeds and for your righteousness. Shemosarto simonecha lachosecha. You have delivered the simonim to your sister. Okay, so obviously this is a very questionable. Now, what are we more familiar with? When we read the Pesukim on Rosh Hashanah, we really think that the other Medrash. The other Medrash is really, it's the Pasuk. It's not even the Medrash, it's really the Pesukim Shel Mikra. When Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, don't complain to me that I did not bury your mother in Eretz Yisrael. I buried her in Bederach Ephros on the Beis Lach, because I saw Peruch HaKadosh during the time of Galus, 100 years after this conversation that the Medrash took place, they're going to travel, the few remnants, the Goylim, and they're going to pass the Kever, and they're going to go and fall upon the Kever and be mispalal and say, Rachel be mispalal for us, and then Rachel's going to cry, and Hashem will say, Yesh socha lufula seich. So, first of all, you have to, I don't analyze the Midrashim. Are these in the Midrashim, do they disagree? Was there only one conversation? The conversation did it take place 100 years before, did it take place 100 years afterwards? Are they both MS? They count the Elu v'Elu. Okay, but if I think from the Midrash Mashmah, no, it was the very first time that the conversation took place. Later on, when they went into Galus, because that's really what the pasuk is more Mashmah. That's why Yaakov buried her. That's why Yaakov buried her. Because according to this Midrash alone, there was no need for Yaakov to bury her on the road. The conversation took place 100 years before they went into Galus. Hashem said Yesachul Lefulaseich. So why couldn't Yaakov bring her to Amar Sinachpela? She would anyway have the conversation with Kodesh Baruch Hu. So obviously there's something more to it. There's something more going on. But it's interesting that Rashi quotes this medrash, does not make any mention about what happened at the time when they actually went into Golis, even though in the previous Rashi, he's going forward 100 years. In the previous Rashi, he's quoting the Targum. The Targum says, here we are, it's a time of Churban, they're going into Golis, Yirmiyah is going back and forth, and now they're crying about, Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah, don't leave us. Don't leave us, we need you to be with us. And now he jumps back 100 years. He jumps back 100 years in time, to the time of Menashe, when he could have went and taken the Medrash that talks about when they actually went, they went along the grave, they went and they came across the grave of Rachel, and Rachel cried on their behalf. So it is a bit of a mystery. Yeah. Now, all these things, you know, the story of Rachel is first of all, is a very, very difficult thing to understand. How is she even allowed to do this? It's one thing you want to... Yaakov worked for her 7 years. So Yaakov worked for her 7 years. So it's one thing you're not allowed to go to deceive someone, but Yaakov was very upset. She also deceived Yaakov. How was she Alpi Halach allowed to give the simonim to Leah, so that she should not be embarrassed? But in the process of Leah not being embarrassed, you're causing Yaakov great harm. Yaakov worked 7 years of slave labor, and now he's being fooled. All of his wages are being denied. He's been given the wrong product. How would you like if someone did that to you? So it's a very difficult concept of where you draw the line when you're allowed to do something to someone else that has that has consequences. You don't really say that Torah lab ashram. So it's a very difficult question. I don't know.
Maybe he learned it from what happened with him
and Rivka. We're saying with Rivka. What do you mean with Rivka?
With
the brachas.
And he realized that in a certain circumstance, you have to do it.
You have to say something like that, but it's still very difficult. That it's one thing that she's not allowed to actively go and be mevaze. You're not allowed to go and be mevaze. But here she's passive. She's doing nothing, so she won't deliver the simonim. It will be discovered that Lavan is fooling Yaakov. Yaakov worked 7 years. There was a deal. The arrangement was, I want to marry Rachel. I'm working here 7 years. And now, by doing this, it's irreversible, because really, to go marry two sisters is not something which was so simple to do. It wasn't so simple to do. And who says even Leah would allow, would he would want that he should take a second wife? She's setting herself up in a situation that is extremely complex, which is going to cause Yaakov Avinu a lot of tsar, a lot of problems. And she is active. It's not being passive. It's one thing to be passive. She here is an active participant. And that requires understanding how in the halacha of this life. Yeah, I don't know. Just to lose the question. Sakonis nefashos. Even sakonis nefashos. It could be. I don't know. There's other thing which you all know, and that is the ikur chosar min ha-sefer. And that there's another half to the story. The other half of the story is when Reuven came back from the field with fertility pills, with the flowers, and according to some of the commentators, Rachel said, "Oh, your son Reuven, he has these flowers, these dudoim, please give them to me. I would like them." According to, I think the Chizkuni says, these were fertility pills. In ancient times, I need them, I don't have a child, please give them to me. So Rachel says, it's not enough that you're taking away my husband. You also want to go take away the dudoim bini. It's bad enough that you're my co-wife. So halbatsara, that you're my co-wife, and that tonight is the night when he's supposed to be with you. You also want to go steal from me the flowers? And anyone who knows the story is shocked. Excuse me here. Who did who the favor? Who did the favor? The one who was meant to be was Rachel. Rachel was meant to be the husband of Yaakov Avinu. Leah, you're the guest. You're the guest. How dare you go and say such a thing to Rachel? It's bad enough you took away my husband. He's not your husband. He's my husband. I did you the favor, and I allowed you also to be his wife. And now you have the chutzpah to turn the tables and say such a thing to me? It is utterly shocking what she said. And all the commentators, they say, that's the other half of the story. And that half of the story is probably more important than what this Medrash says, is that the godless of Rachel was, she never ever made her feel that you are second rate. She was such a tzaddikus, is that she set up the situation where l'chatchila it was meant to be you were the wife. There wasn't even a hava mina that I was supposed to be the wife of Yaakov Avinu. They brought Leah into the chuppah. She made it. So that's right. That's what was meant to be these 7 years. And I am the best. What is it called? You know, the best man. I'm the best woman. I'm going to give the simonim. The maid of honor. Here are the simonim. I'm giving the simonim that. So of course. And for all of these years, five or six children later, she still thinks that she was the Ikeres Habayis. And she's the one who did Rachel the favor by letting her also be a wife. So that really says it all. That says it all. That is the true zuchus of Rachel. Mavak al bonecha, me'ana li nochem al bonecha kienena. And that's why she was zuchah to this. Okay, let us finish up the Radak. It's out of time. I want to finish up quickly the Radak. There are really more things to talk about here. But let's just do the Radak and we'll stop for now. Pasuk Gidal ki Amar Koyamah Hashem Kol Berem Nishma Amar Al Derech Mashul Al Aseres Hashvatim Sherosha Ephraim V'Zochar Ha'em L'Kulam V'Rochel Ki Ilu Boicha Al Derech Mashul Abaneha. Radak introduces us to something very important. He's saying over here, why Rachel? Radak is almost ignoring, in this Radak, he's almost ignoring the whole thing about Rachel and Leah, the Simonim and the Maisa. He's saying, why Rachel? Why only Rachel? Leah didn't cry. Bilhah and Zilpah didn't cry. That's one of the famous kinos in Tisha B'Av. Leah was crying. Bilhah and Zilpah, they were banging their hands on their hearts. They were all crying. Bilhah and Zilpah. We almost know nothing about Bilhah and Zilpah. They're the two most anonymous people in the entire Torah. They're the most important people because they produce, how many Shvatim? They produce four Shvatim. And yet we know almost zero about them. Nothing about them. And
they
then
were also sisters, right?
Yeah. That's Machlokes. They shail exactly who they were.
They were half sisters.
So we really know nothing about them. So here it seems the Radak is playing a very innocent game here. Like, why Rachel? What about Leah? What about Bilhah? What about Zilpah? Why are you being so selective? Very simple. Because we're soon coming to the grand finale. The grand finale is Haben Yaker Li Ephraim. And really, we've been discussing Ephraim all along. And Ephraim is Yaseres HaShvatim. Yaseres HaShvatim goes after Yeruvim ben Nevat, who came from Shevet Ephraim. Who's the mother of Ephraim? The grandmother. She was the grandmother of Yosef. She produced Yosef, which produced Ephraim. So that is why, because since the theme, the thrust of all of these psukim focuses on Ephraim, the Aseres HaShvatim, and the Melo, so we go to Ephraim's mother, or his grandmother, and that is Rachel, to the exclusion of Leah, to the exclusion of Bilhah and Zilpah. Very simple pshat. You don't have to go into the mystical things, which he will do anyway go into, but this is what seemingly the Radak is coming to throw out in his words over here. Kienenu. Okay, the next words are Kienenu, Klal Yisrael, who is non-existent in Ha'am, people, Zachar Elu, Va'amar Aleim Enenu. So he's continuing in this theme. Enenu means that the Aseres HaShvatim have disappeared. Aseres HaShvatim, Ha'am, Zachar Elu, Va'amar Aleim Enenu, Lefi Shalo, Shavu, Oid Mi Shagalu. Because once they went into exile, they never came back, unlike Yehuda and Binyamin, which came back. They never came back. We do not know where they are. Therefore, that's why it's a very great tsar to Rachel. Rachel has very bitter pain, because according to the Mandama that says the Aseres HaShvatim are lost, and they're not coming back, what greater pain can a mother have than that? So and since you know, Leah also has Aseres Hashvatim, obviously, but Rachel feels responsible because she is the leader, just like the mother of the Kohen Gadol. The mother of the Kohen Gadol is the one who feels guilty. That's why she's the one that delivers food packages to all the people that they should not pray that her son should die. So here, who's the leader? Ephraim is the leader of the Aseres HaShvatim. So who feels bad for the leader? The mother of the leader, Rachel. Rachel is the one that has the bitterness. The Perish Berama, what is Rama? Rama is Begiva. Is Begiva, Begiva Rama liyashmiya kolim Rachel. Rama means a high, it's not name of a place, it's not Shemayim. We have a new interpretation, it means Begiva Rama, a very high valley, lahashmiya hakol limrachayik. The voice can be heard in the distance. V'yesh derash lama rachel. Now we go to drash. Now we go away from the pshat. We go to drash. L'fishalchu abosimos l'fayis. He quotes the same exact medrash as Rashi. They went in the fayis hakadosh baruch hu al shehim in menashe tzelam behechol v'loy nespayis bichnasar rachel yom lufan avibana shalom l'rachamei mimrubim rachamecha rachamei rachamei basar v'dam hevi oimer rachamecha mrubim. V'haloi ani echnasti tzavasi lebeisi shekol avod eshav Yaakov avesavi lo yavad el b'shvili uch shebasi likonis l'chubo hechnisu achoisi v'loi da'i shesha sakti. Not only was I silent, elo shemosarti lo simoni simonai the simonim afato yu Hashem in hechnisu b'nei sarasecha lebeisecha, just because Menashe brought in an avod zara shesoik lohem amalo yofel lamadata sanegoria albini yesochel fulosech litzikosech shemosata simonim lachosecha v'od yesh k'svefo the imam. She quotes word for word what it says in Rashi. And now we come to the other medrash, which I told you, the other medrash. V'od yesh darash ki derech kever Rachel holchem begoyla, that when the exiles, they left, they passed their grave, alkein Rachel mevaka b'necha v'dosho al zeh v'dikover v'derech afrosa Yaakov buried her there. V'yamru maro Yaakov avinu l'kboris Rachel b'derech efros Ella, why on that road? Shetzofa Yaakov avinu l'chakodesh shagolios. Yaakov avinu saw shagolios, so the exiles are going to pass Alava derech sham chichudif o'kavru sham k'deshet hei mevakeshes aleihem rachamim hadohu d'chsev. That's what it says in this pasuk. Kol berama nishma v'gomer v'yonis antigma pasuk kain kindan amar Hashem. Okay, we already did the Rashi quoted this. He says a little bit different. Kinso says Hashem kol berum olma kibamud. Okay, Yonis translates the pasuk like that as well. The two perushim in the Targum. This is a different perush of Targum. Different. They have two, both them. The saying that is that in the highest heavens, Hashem hears Rachel crying. Bechitam rumrim, a bitter cry. Sheboicha, she cries. Bim riru slave. Al derech, similar to the expression, amorer babechi. I cry with bitterness. Uvachu elayich, they cry to you. Bimar nefesh. Rachel mevake. Yavai hapa, we have some grammar. What does it mean, mevaka? Yavai hapoyal mifal hadagush lerov habechi. We have extra dots in the word. Let me find the pasuk inside. Mivakah. Yavai hapoyal mifal hadagush lerov habechi. There's a dot which indicates not mivakah, mivakah, to indicate that there's an intensity to the crying. All right, we will stop here.